Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 25. This is the reading of God's word. Now it came about in those days, when Moses had grown up, that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that. And when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. He went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, "Why are you striking your companion?" But he said, "Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Surely the matter has become known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. When the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to rule their father, he said, "Why have you come back so soon today?" So they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and what is more, he even drew the water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Where is he then? Why is it that you have left the man behind? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses was willing to dwell with the man, and he gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. Then she gave birth to a son. He named him Gershom, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cry out. And their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. Let us, through your word, hear your loving voice telling us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Oh, Father, we pray that you will pour out your grace. As we hear your word, our faith will grow, and you will cause us to be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, let us obey and give you all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our passage, Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, we see three stories. Verses 11 and 12, Moses sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and Moses kills that Egyptian. Second story, verses 13 through 15. The next day, Moses sees two Hebrews fighting with each other and intervenes. And in the process, Moses realizes that his crime the day before has been revealed, so he flees to Midian. And the third story, verses 16 through 22, Moses sees seven daughters of a Midian priest in trouble and helps them out. And as a result, Moses is invited by their fathers to dwell with them. And there, Moses marries Zipporah, a daughter of the Midian priests, and they have a son together whom they name Gershom, which means, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. Now then, let us look at these three stories in a little bit more detail. Verses 11 and 12. Now it came about in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to see his brethren and looked on their hard labors. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that. And when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Even though Moses grew up in the palace of Pharaoh's daughter, he knows he's a Hebrew. Acts chapter 7, verse 22 through 23 tells of this same event. Moses was educated in all the learnings of Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds, but when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. Moses grows up knowing that the Hebrews are his brothers and his sisters. It entered his mind to take care of them. It entered his mind that he might be the one to save the Hebrews. But this is all on his own thinking, because God has not yet called him. Acts chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, and when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptian, and he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. From this, we are able to see that Moses is looking for a way to save his brethren, the Hebrews. But the time and how to save, time and how of Moses are not the same as the time and how of God. Just because the Hebrews are suffering in the land of Egypt, they are not to save themselves by violently striking down the Egyptians. The Moses' way is not God's way. The Moses' way at this point is the way of this sinful world. This world will not blame Moses if he were to kill these Egyptians and bring his people out, just violently kill them. The world will understand. But that is the way of this sinful world. We see the similar mindset in the hearts of Israelites when Jesus came to them as their Messiah. They wanted the worldly Messiah who would destroy all the Roman soldiers and establish the worldly kingdom so they could dominate the world with power. We see the similar mindset in the heart of Peter when he tries to save Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane with his sword. God does not fulfill heaven or our salvation with the methods of this sinful world. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. You must understand, and Moses must understand, that God accomplishes his kingdom and our salvation in his own time and in his own way. There is God's time and God's way for everything. But Moses could not wait. He goes on with his own way, believing that God would bless it. Just like how we do things in our lives. But no, there is God's time and there is God's way. And Moses and you and me, we must learn this. Now, verse 13 through 14, he went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, why are you striking your companion? But he said, who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and said, surely the matter has been known. And he runs. Just next day, just one day after, Moses sees again a man beating another man. But this time, both men are Hebrews. Surely here, the Israelites are not being saved by God because they are better than the Egyptians. No. You and I, we are saved not because we're better than non-Christians. Moses asked the man who is beating the other man, why are you striking your companion? Are not you both Hebrews? But he says to Moses, who made you a prince or a judge over us? Now here, we see how Moses views the salvation of his people. And understanding how Moses views, at this time, the salvation of his people is important for us to understand what is going on in the next few chapters. To Moses, at this point, the salvation is purely ethnic. As you know, Old Testament salvation is a typological salvation, and God is using the Israelites to show the true salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes, but Moses must learn this principle. Principle of the true salvation. The issue is not whether you are a Jew or not a Jew. The issue is whether you are God's child or not his child. But in the Old Testament, typologically, Israelites, they were the children of God. But it was a typological, they must understand that. But they didn't, and they still don't understand, even today, they don't understand. See, Old Testament Israel was chosen to witness the true salvation that Jesus Christ accomplishes. But they thought they're it. and they still think they're it. Wrong. But Moses, he doesn't understand at this point. It's purely ethnic. But God's true salvation is never a purely ethnic, and Moses must learn this. The first day, Moses sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. Then Moses looks this way and that, and when he sees that there is no one around, he strikes down the Egyptian. He kills him. Now the second day, Moses sees one Hebrew beating another Hebrew. But this time, Moses does not go and look this way and that and strikes down the Hebrew who is hitting the other Hebrew, but he tries to resolve the conflict through a conversation. What is the difference between the first day and the second day? The exact same thing happens on both days. The only difference is that on the first day, the person who is beating is an Egyptian. Whereas on the second day, the person who is beating is a Hebrew. So if an Egyptian does this beating, then he is guilty, worthy of death. But if a Hebrew does the same thing, then he's not. Is this how Moses understands things? So it's all ethnic. That's all Moses understands at this time. To Moses, the salvation is only in terms of ethnicity. Again, I keep telling you the same thing. The issue is not, are we of a certain nationality? But the issue is, are we the people of God? To teach Moses of this, God causes Moses to be rejected by his own people. But this is also a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was also rejected by his own people. Verse 15, when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tries to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Moses is rejected by Israelites and is pursued by Pharaoh and now lives a life of a sojourner. Moses is a type Jesus. Jesus was also rejected by his people and pursued by the leaders of this world and lived a life of sojourner. And later we'll see that the Israelites will come out of Egypt and will live a life of a sojourner in the wilderness. As the mediator, Moses must live that life ahead of the Israelites, just like Jesus Christ, who lived the life of a sojourner ahead of his church. Moses is rejected by the world and now must learn that his identity is defined only in terms of his relationship with God through his salvation, through his Savior. See, Moses' understanding of who he is purely ethnic. But he needs to learn that what defines him is no longer earthly, but what defines him is only in terms of his relationship with God. This Moses must learn. And we go to the third story, verses 16 through 22. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherd came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "Why have you come back so soon today?" They said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of shepherds, and what is more, he even drew the water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Where is he then? Why is it that you have left the man behind? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses was willing to dwell with the man, and he gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. Then she gave birth to a son. He named him Gershom, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." 7 daughters came to a well to water the father's flock. Bad shepherds came and drive them out, but Moses helped them. And their father, according to verse 18, his name is Reuel, but in chapter 3, verse 1, more familiar name for this priest, he is also called Jethro. He invites Moses to eat with his family. And here, from then on, Moses, who was once rejected, is now accepted. But isn't that interesting? Midian family accepts Moses. And he marries Zipporah. You know, this story, Moses meeting Zipporah at the well, reminds us of the stories of Abraham's family. Joseph and Jacob met their wives at a well also. Even Jesus meets a Samaritan woman who represents all of us at a well to show us our heavenly reality that Jesus is our eternal husband. Here, the important thing to remember is that Zipporah is a Midian, not a Hebrew. So Moses marries a Gentile. Again, we emphasize that the true salvation of our God is not an ethnic salvation. Salvation from sin. You know, so many people wants to change Christian salvation into something that their sinful minds want. Some people make it as a political salvation. Some people make it as an economical salvation. And Moses thinks it's ethnic salvation. No. The true salvation is salvation from this world and salvation from sin. Moses, and we are learning, the true salvation brings the true freedom from all the earthly limitations and distinctions. The earthly relationships do not define who I am. Oh, you might say, I am a father to my son, Paul. But ultimately, that's not who I am. Because I am his eternal brother rather than his father. in heaven. Earthly relationships do not define who I am, ultimately. I don't know, for some of you, it might come as a shock. But your husband will not be your husband in heaven. Your wife will not be your wife in heaven. Your sons are not your sons in heaven. Your fathers and your mothers are not your fathers and mothers in heaven. It's all temporary. Shocking. My true identity can be found only in Christ and in my relationship with God. That is who I am, and that is who you are. So my relationship with you is now formed in Christ. Whatever you think of me as, it better be in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you'll be wrong. Moses is learning. It was all ethnic, but he's forced to be rejected by his people. He's forced to marry a Gentile. Look what God is doing to Moses. And I'm so glad that he brought me from Korea to America. Not because America is a wealthy nation. I should not use that. But my understanding of these earthly relationships has brought for me, people in this world is not just Koreans. It is sad. That there are prisoners of earthly ethnicity. You know, in America, you know what time is most segregated time in America? It's Sunday morning. Sunday morning. In America, we are most segregated because we go to church. It is a sad reality. But in heaven, it's not going to be just Koreans and Vietnamese and Chinese gathered in one corner in heaven and some other ethnicity will gather in some other corner in heaven. That is not what heaven is. And that is not going to be our eternal reality. We must be ethnic blind because that is how heaven is. But world will not embrace this. And even some Christians will not embrace this. Oh, they will never go. They dare not go to a church that is preached by a Korean pastor. Is this how we are? Moses was like that. But God changes him. My true identity can be found only in Christ and my relationship with my God. I am a God's son and a citizen of heaven. I've been rescued from this present evil age. I have been rescued from the domain of darkness. I have been rescued from this world and sin and Satan and been transferred to the kingdom of Jesus Christ and seated at the heavenly places with Christ. Our salvation is not about being saved from one part of this world and moved to another part of this same world. Our salvation is not about being saved from one worldly relationship to another worldly relationship. Our salvation is not about being saved from one worldly distinction to another worldly, earthly distinction. We are all God's children. And we must see our heavenly reality. The ultimate purpose of Exodus is not to show us that the worldly Israel is saved from worldly Egypt and God establishes the worldly Israel at a different worldly location. That's not what this story is all about. Moses must understand that the salvation that he is to lead is pointing to the true salvation by his Lord Jesus Christ. It is being saved from this world to be transferred to the other world. And Moses must reflect that true salvation through his life and the life of the Israelites. He must first forsake the world and all the world implies. He must be rejected by this world. Do you see it? God is leading Moses. God is teaching Moses. God is using Moses. God is preparing Moses. God gives Moses faith to witness all of this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. Look at how it starts. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Yes, Moses is not perfect, but see God who is working in Moses. Moses is not perfect, but God causes him to forsake Egypt and choose the life of a sojourner. You must understand that it is not Moses. We're not interested in Moses. God could have used anybody. He could have used you if that was what he had planned. He could have caused you to born many, many years ago in Moses' time and used you as a Moses. I mean, he could have used a dog. He could have used a rock, chair, anything he could have used. It's not Moses. It's not about Moses. And it's not about you. And it's not about me. It's God. It's Jesus Christ. Moses must learn the ways of God and he must learn that it is according to God's time. God is molding Moses. You know, at 40, Moses wanted to save God's people. But God causes Moses to live in the wilderness for another 40 years. And when he was 80, God calls him. Can you picture Moses wanting to save his people on his own time and in his own way, but he had to wait 40 years. And even then, it was according to God's way, not his. It's not about you, brothers and sisters. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not what time I would like anything to happen. Moses must learn this. Our job is to humbly trust him and humbly obey his will. But no. If I say like this, then I know some of you will use that to justify your laziness. Yeah, you're so lazy, you know, you don't study, you don't work, and nothing happens, and you say, oh, it's not God's time yet. Oh, yeah. No, don't use that to justify your sin. But ultimately, it is about God's time and his way. Moses must learn this. God is molding Moses. God does not use because you are able, but God uses you ably. You know, when I was young, thinking of a joke that coming into my head. When I was young, they taught me that I must prepare myself, that I must train myself, prepare myself, I must make myself useful so that God could use me. This is how I grew up. This is what church taught me as I was growing up in those churches. That I need to make myself useful so that God is able to now use me because I am useful now. No. God could use, like I said, anybody, anything. Even if you are not useful, God could still use you. Even if you have no abilities whatsoever, God could still use you. It's all God. It's not about your abilities or how prepared you are or how useful you are. Don't be arrogant. You know, these people who taught me this, they're the ones who make sure that I understood that they are used by God. By telling me that, they're saying they are useful, they are ready, they are able. That's why God uses them. You think God could only use you when you have the ability? Is that our God? That his power is so limited, unless you have ability, he cannot use you. You think God is using me as a pastor because I'm so able? You know, I could be the most able pastor in the whole universe. I could give out the most best sermons in the whole universe, and it might not benefit any of God's people if God is not using me. Oh yeah, worldly, they will say, oh, he's good. Worldly, they will understand, whoa, he has many abilities, but are they all my ministry, are they really benefiting God's people spiritually? That is only up to God. I could give you the best lessons and best sermons, but if God does not use that, then it doesn't help you. You might be impressed, but so what? No, God is not calling Moses because he's able. Actually, what we learn is that he's not a leader material, but God makes him. He's molding Moses. He's teaching Moses. Do you understand? God's salvation is not about our abilities or our methods. From Moses, we see the need of more perfect mediator. How would you like to be used like this by God? That he will use Moses so that when we see Moses, we will desire a better one. And that's exactly how God uses Moses. Through Moses, God causing us to seek better Moses, Jesus Christ, who has to come. Who have to come because he's the only one. If Moses is so able, then we don't need Jesus come after him. That is the true purpose of Moses, to point to Jesus Christ. You must understand that. You know, there's a Bible study series called, I don't know the exact word, but, you know, the characters of the Bible. They learn about Abraham and Moses and David. And it's all about Abraham and Moses and David. How great leaders they are. Ay-ya. They just completely miss the point. Through them we have to see Jesus. That these characters of the Bible are pointing to. If they are so great, then we don't need Jesus. But we do need Jesus because no one is able. Only Jesus. Do you understand the message of the Bible? Verse 11. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. When Moses had grown up, that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labor. When Moses looked on, nothing is accomplished. But in verse 25, God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. When God sees, the Exodus will be accomplished. God is teaching Moses that it is not Moses, but God. In chapter 3, we see God molding Jesus, molding Moses. Teaching Moses, and God is doing the same for you. Do you still think it's all about you? All about your abilities and your skills? Do you still think it's you? Learn from Moses. Or learn from God who is teaching Moses. It's not you. It's Jesus Christ. Moses must witness that it is not him, but God. That's why he had to wait 40 years. Because if Exodus happens when he was 40, then we might be confused. We might even think that it is Moses. But no. Exodus happens 40 years later. It is not about us, it is about Christ, and we must understand this. We too are rejected by this world, and we too are living a life of sojourner. And who I am is not defined by the worldly terms, not by my nationality, not by my family relationships, not by my friendships, not by my school, not by my job, not by how much I make or how much I have. What defines me is my relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ defines who I am. This world is not our home. Moses' son, his name is who we are, Gershom, meaning I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. That is my name, Gershom. Call me that after worship. Before we get to the true land of Canaan, our life is a life in the wilderness. It was the life of Moses. It was the life of Old Testament Israelites. It was the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live looking forward to heaven. We live in terms of the relationships of that glorious place. We live witnessing that we have come out of Egypt and already transferred to heavenly Canaan, God's kingdom, our eternal home, heaven. Our Exodus, led by Jesus Christ, has already begun, and we are in the middle of it, but spiritually, we're at the end of it. But visibly, we are on our way to heavenly Canaan. Do you understand? I want all of us to understand as you go out that door, you realize that your life is Exodus. Exodus is your life. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh Father, let us truly understand what happened to us, what is happening to us, and what will happen to us. Through your word, you have told us. You have shown us. No surprises. Everything is according to your plan. And Father, let us truly live this life in faith in Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.